Well, today is Earth Day, and 1 year ago, Dave and Amy Freeman of Grand Marais began an 11,000-mile expedition, traveling across North America by kayak, canoe, and dog sled. We spoke with them a couple of times along the way, and the last time they were here with us in the studio, they were back from Canada waiting for freeze-up so they could start the next leg of their journey. Welcome back, Dave and Amy.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
You've been dog sledding for 900 miles. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we just got back into the county a couple days ago, and we drove up to the Northwest Territories in early January, spent about 3 weeks training up there, and then spent about 2.5 months dog sledding across Great Bear Lake and Great Slave Lake and a series of smaller lakes in between those two that are actually very similar to the boundary waters here.
This is the Northwest Territories?
Yep, we were in the Northwest Territories the whole time.
What was that like, Amy?
Oh, it was great. And actually, I have to admit, a little bit easier than we expected.
Really? How come?
There were more people out on snowmobiles in a really, what we thought would be a remote stretch. People were out hunting caribou, and so they left a nice snowmobile track for us here and there.
These were native people?
Yeah.
Wow. And we've got, by the way, just so our listeners know, we'll post this interview on our website, and I have a few photographs that Dave and Amy sent us from the trail. Now, you were there with a couple from Ely, right?
Yes. Ellen Root and Van Conrad. They also work as dog sledding guides over in the Ely area, so we sort of snatched them up for the winter. And then we had 12 sled dogs that pulled our two dog sleds.
What did you see that was interesting? I mean, I could tell by some of the photos that certainly the scenery was there, but are there a lot of animals and stuff around that time of the year? I mean, did you see caribou?
We did actually see caribou, and it was the first time for all of us. And it just happened to be on a layover day. We were just in camp, and Dave looked out across the bay and happened to see it, you know, just a few caribou walking out at first, and then that continued into a long procession crossing the bay. Ooh. And we sat there and just watched in awe and counted all of them, and it ended up being like 45.
Really? Is there anything else out there that moves?
Quite a few wolves. We saw wolverine as well, fox, lots of tracks. It's sort of like here, you know, you don't necessarily see the animals. Sometimes in the winter it's hard, but there's lots of evidence. I mean, we saw lots and lots of wolf tracks and caribou tracks and moose tracks almost on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But especially traveling with a whole bunch of loud, smelly sled dogs, I think the animals see us and then, or hear us or smell us and are gone before we get a chance to see them.
They don't want anything to do with you, huh? Well, now you talked a minute ago, Amy, about a layover day. So what kind of a schedule do you keep when you do a trek like this?
Well, it's interesting, actually, because we ended up a little bit ahead of what we planned. We were sort of thinking, like, usually 5 travel days and then plan for about 2 potential storm days or days in town in there. Mm-hmm. And we were able to move pretty well. And so most of the time we were just on the move, and then we would stop and spend like 2-3 days in a town once we got there.
And what kind of towns are they?
They're pretty small, probably on average like 400 or 500 people for the most part, except for like Norman Wells where we started, and Yellowknife, of course, is much bigger.
Yeah, well, Yellowknife's a big city. But there were some photos of going into these towns. I mean, are they like outposts, or what are they? How do people make a living?
Well, they're mostly native communities. And a lot of the jobs surround like basic services, like working at the health clinic or working at the school or working at some sort of a government office. The jobs are hard to come by. There's still a fairly strong tie to the land, so a lot of people are going out hunting, like for caribou or moose. And then a lot of the jobs are out of the community. So many people are familiar with the TV show Ice Road Truckers, which is trucking supplies into diamond mines. And those diamond mines are relatively close to many of these communities. So a lot of the, about 20% of the people in the town would would do like a 2 week on, 2 week off shift at the diamond mines. So it's sort of a mixture.
So when you are not on the dog sleds, what do you, got tents and you, these must be winter equipped. I mean, how do you stay warm?
Yeah, we had one large tent that all four of us would fit in, a canvas tent. So we had the wood stove going,
Was a treat. The chimney through the canvas, the outfitter tents, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you could cook and everything.
Yeah, it was really, really nice, and have a chance to like dry out our clothes and everything like that.
I noticed in looking through the photos, and if people are interested, the website is what again?
wildernessclassroom.com for like the educational stuff, and we have a bit more of a blog going on northamericanodyssey.com.
Well, there's a couple hundred photos there, and I noticed that in several of them you were singing the praises of the Cabot Creamery cheese people, so they must have been a sponsor.
Oh yes, that okay. Was a treat.
But thawing out cheese?
Well, yeah, to cut it.
Oh brother. Well, what's up next? Where are you going next, and when are you going back up there?
Well, we'll go back to Fort Resolution, which is on the south edge of Great Slave Lake. Mm-hmm. And we're going to canoe from there back to Grand Portage. That's our plan. So,
well, no, you're not going to canoe like next week at because it's still frozen up there, isn't it?
That's true. Well, we're going to start on a river system, so we're hoping to be able to start the very end of May, which is pretty early, but we have a long ways. It's like 2,400 miles to go from there back to here. So we have to get started as early as we can so that we don't run into freeze up here.
Well, are you going to have company on this trip?
Just my lovely wife. So okay. Just the two of us.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, so you'll be leaving here pretty soon.
We will. Unfortunately, we're only going to be around for about another week. And then we have to leave to go do a whole bunch of school assemblies.
Thousands of kids and their teachers and families following you on this. One of the things, when you went around Lake Superior, you had an interactive thing going where you asked kids about the weather and what you should do. Was there any of that, or was this just pretty much information?
No, we've continued that interactive aspect, so we're still getting feedback from students to help us make decisions and vote on things, and they email us questions, and it's really fun.
I got to hand it to you guys. This is quite a trip. Well, I hope that you'll stay in contact with us, and when you get on the water, maybe you can let us know, and at some point, maybe we can talk to you on that long trip. I don't want to lose track of you while you're canoeing back here. So keep us in mind, and we'll try to hook up with you along the way, see how things are going, and you can tell us a little bit about what you're seeing and doing, okay?
Thanks. That sounds great.
We've been talking with Amy and Dave Freeman, and they're about to continue their 11,000-mile trek and across North America, this time by canoe. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you.